ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, chapter 18, text 68. Ya idam paramanguhyam madbhakteshvabhidhasyati bhaktiṃ mai param kṛtvā Mame Vaishyasya Sangshayaha.
Mame Vaishyasya Sangshayaha.
Ya idam paramam guhyam.
Ya idam paramam guhyam.
Madbhakteshva bhidhasyati.
Madbhakteshva bhidhasyati.
Bhakting mai param kritva. Mame Vaishyasya Sangshayaha. Verse translation, for one who explains this supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. Purport. Generally, it is advised that Bhagavad Gita be discussed amongst the devotees only, for those who are not devotees will understand neither Krishna nor Bhagavad Gita. Those who do not accept Krishna as he is and Bhagavad Gita as it is should not try to explain Bhagavad Gita whimsically and become offenders. Bhagavad Gita should be explained to persons who are ready to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is a subject matter for the devotees only and not for philosophical speculators. Anyone, however, who tries sincerely to present Bhagavad Gita as it is will advance in devotional activities and reach the pure devotional state of life. As a result of such pure devotion, he is sure to go back home, back to Godhead. Ya idam paramam guhyam madbhakteshvabhidhasyati bhakting mai param kritva Mame Vaishyasya Sangshayaha. I chose to speak on this verse today because this verse and the next verse, which doesn't have a purport, given by Srila Prabhupada, Nachatasman Manushyesu Kaschin Me Priyakritamaha Bhavita Nachame Tasmad Anyaf Priyataro Bhuvi. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. Now, these two verses are regularly quoted by Srila Prabhupada to stress the importance of preaching and the glories of preaching Krishna consciousness and the benefit that accrues to devotees who preach Krishna consciousness in a general way to the public. Although the verse particularly talks about preaching to the devotees, but Srila Prabhupada takes it in a very broad way, and with this and in so many other ways Srila Prabhupada encouraged preaching, not least by his own personal example of preaching Krishna consciousness. So I have chosen to speak on this today to introduce a topic of how to revive the preaching of Krishna consciousness in the Western world. It's a very big topic. I'm going to give more ideas, thoughts, and suggestions. This will not be so much instructional class or didactic, pedagogic, or whatever you want to call it. But it will be more giving ideas, suggestions that we can think about and start to enact. Because although we're very happy to be here, no doubt, I presume you're all happy, Krishna consciousness should make us happy. We're And we thank Murari Gupta Prabhu and his wife for again hosting us. They're not here, but I'll of course say to them also. And it's understood that we are grateful to them and to all the devotees who are working hard to make this little festival work to happen. So we're very happy coming here. I'd like to say to all of you, so get back to your preaching fields and get back to work and save the world. But the reality for most of the devotees here, it's getting back to the daily grind, being ground in the crushing mill of working to make a living. There has been in this country very lively preaching. But I first came here, I can't remember the year, I was waiting in, I'd come to Rome to get a new long-term visa for India. Long-term means they give maximum 5 years. For India, I'd heard that in Rome it was a good place to do it, but I had to wait. So in the meantime, it was suggested to me, why not come to Croatia? So I drove up to Croatia. In the first place, I came to Rijeka, where the temple was not taking any more new people because they didn't have space. It was overcrowded. And it used to be like that in the... And there are many centers in Croatia at that time. Zagreb, of course, and I don't know even all of them. Pula there was, Split... Osijek at that time, Dubrovnik, maybe, not at that time. And there are some others, I can't even remember. You know. Čakovec had a center, a little town. Somehow there was a Pula, is also small, but there was a center there. And there was a lot of book distribution going on, a lot of enthusiasm, and after that things didn't go on in the same way. But why not? There were severe difficulties, but those are in the past. And there can be and will be severe difficulties in the future also. No doubt. But we as followers of Srila Prabhupada, we should always bear in mind how much he wanted this preaching, this knowledge that we've received, this whole way of life, this chance to utilize our human form of life. After many millions of births, we have this opportunity. And if it wasn't for Srila Prabhupada and his movement, then we'd just be going on in the same way. It means dying again, getting born again in complete ignorance. But by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we all are practicing Krishna consciousness very happily, various degrees of happiness, various degrees of struggle. But there are many, many, the huge majority of the population, we're just a tiny fragment of the population who are sitting here, who the vast majority have no idea of Krishna consciousness. Probably many people in Croatia still have heard of the Hare Krishna. Maybe the younger people haven't, because that's the situation in much of the Western world, that Hare Krishna was in the newspapers, it was public and prominent in the late 1960s, 1970s, and then it became prominent in the 1980s for all the wrong reasons. The younger generation may not know at all. A few years ago, I was traveling in an airport in the USA. I was transiting, and so many people there, and one old man with his wife. He said, oh, what's this? I said, Hare Krishna. Oh, Hare Krishna. Oh, yeah, I remember that. It's still around. I thought it was finished. At least he'd heard of it. And there are other people, you say, they are, many people in America are probably here too, if you dress like this, if you're not ashamed to dress like this. People come up and ask, what is this? And say, Hare Krishna. They never heard of it. I had another experience a few years ago. This is in Dublin, the capital of Ireland. And one young woman came up to me and asked, what is this? And I said, Hare Krishna. She'd never heard of it. I asked her where she's from New York City. Maybe now the New Yorkers know because of the Harinam that's going on every single day without fail. At this time of year in Washington Square Park, and when it gets too cold in the subways. So many people are seeing, but probably not because, you know, it's a huge city. Not everyone will go into the center, so they may not. But anyway, the point is that many people don't even know, at least if they know Hare Krishna, that's for their benefit. Srila Prabhupada said that several times. There was a movie brought out in India. It was a smash hit movie called Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. This must have been 1970. By, at the time, a very famous actor and director called Devanand. And it portrayed the devotees, the Western devotees, because the Western devotees were, it was a new thing in India, and people didn't really know much about it, portrayed them as smoking ganja, and in general being delinquent and degraded. And that became a smash hit movie, and the devotees were very concerned. And for years, I first came to India in which year, 76, and I came to stay in 1977. And it was still people coming, dam mare dam, means take another puff. Still, it was very well known, and it gave a very bad impression. But Prabhupada said he wasn't concerned. It's good. They're thinking of Hare Krishna. That's good. In Germany, there was a terrible publicity for months. The Hare Krishnas are murderers of children, kidnappers, and really outrageous things. The Prabhupada said, any publicity is good publicity. So don't go out and kill someone and say, I'm a Hare Krishna, and think any publicity is good publicity. Don't do that. Or any such crazy thing. But the point is that at least people knew us one way or another. The reason that the court case came up, well, the reason that Devanand made that film was because there was something going on. There were devotees prominent by going out on Harinam Sankirtan in India at that time. And in Germany there was something going on. Their books were being distributed so widely and very aggressively also that demons reacted. Once Srila Prabhupada was walking in morning walk in South India, either Chennai or Nellore, and one of his disciples, I believe it was Basu Ghosh Prabhu, brought up to Srila Prabhupada that that certain Gaudiya Math members are criticizing, because some report came in the newspaper that in Japan devotees have been arrested for some misbehavior, and the Gaudiya Math people were making a big issue of this. You see, they're giving a bad name to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. And Prabhupada's response was, well, what are you doing in Japan? At least we're there. We're trying to do something. You never even heard of Japan, practically. Srila Prabhupada was very aggressively promoting the preaching, actually, as I've made a whole section in this book, which I'm in the process of compiling, The Mood and Mission of Srila Prabhupada. There's a whole section on how Srila Prabhupada, he was in military mood and he used martial analogies. Our centers are not, our temples are not centers for eating or sleeping, but they are bases from which the devotees go out to drop bombs on the general populace. Terrorist movement, but the bombs are the books. So he used that. Yeah. And he referred to his leaders as generals and commanding officers. And he gave the example that the preachers of Krishna consciousness, they will be specially looked after by Krishna. He gave the examples that the soldiers in a war, he gave a specific personal example that his one godbrother from Germany, Sadananda, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had few Western disciples. So he was from Germany and Srila Prabhupada was good friends with him. And he once asked Sadananda, how come you're so thin? Because we expect the Germans to be big and strong. And he said that I was growing up in the war, and during the war, we didn't get any butter, maybe just, or any good nourishing food. Maybe you get a tiny little butter amount every week. But Srila Prabhupada said, for the soldiers, there's all kinds of food are provided. All the good food goes to the soldiers. And even when by the nature of military operations, sometimes the soldiers have to move, or the supply store is destroyed by the enemy, or you have to move on. Hand in the mouth, go wash it. So Srila Prabhupada said, for strategic reasons, you have to move, and then there's a whole supply there, and you blow it up yourself so the enemy can't get it, and a new supply is arranged. But the ordinary people, they don't get good food. But for the soldiers, whatever they need, everything is given, because that's of the most importance. So Srila Prabhupada gave that example of how the preachers are favored. He said that Krishna favors the preachers. Everything's being done for the benefit of the citizens, but the citizens who happen to be in the front lines, they are given the special facilities and specially looked after. So obviously there is a great need to revive the preaching of Krishna consciousness in the Western world. Maybe it's not so obvious because it doesn't seem that all the devotees are thinking about it. If we actually read Srila Prabhupada's books, we should be inspired to share this knowledge with others. It's so good, we want to share it with others. And the urgency, which is in every line and every drop of ink and even in the spaces in between the letters, the urgency with which Srila Prabhupada is promoting that we have to be Krishna conscious. Don't waste this human form of life. And especially in his later purports in the Bhagavatam and in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's specifically talking about how we have to preach Krishna consciousness. So what do we have to do to get things going again? Well, what do we always do? What is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement? Chanting the holy names in public, in distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada said, you should know that there is no better way to preach Krishna consciousness than to distribute my books. That doesn't mean there aren't other ways. There are many, many important things to do in spreading Krishna consciousness. Festivals, prasad distribution, preaching to intellectuals, smashing the wrong theories that are misleading everyone, dramas, TV programs, infiltrating the schools, the student community. There's so many things to be done for preaching Krishna consciousness. But we may think, well, Well, before we even start thinking about how to do it, the first thing, there has to be a desire, right? So, like I say, this talk is going to be more suggesting or exploratory. But desire should be there. So I'm just trying to awaken or nourish some desire. Srila Prabhupada brought Krishna consciousness to the West. It was the desire of his guru, the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but it was also his desire, because guru mukha padma vakya chitete koriya aika ana koriha manayasha. Srila Prabhupada had surrendered to his guru. That means he surrendered his mind, his thoughts, and his ambitions and desires. And the desire of his guru was his own desire. That's one factor. Another factor is that a devotee feels compassion for the fallen souls, and he wants to uplift them. So the two factors, they're non-different in one sense. Srila Prabhupada had a very strong desire, and his desire for preaching Krishna consciousness and bringing Krishna consciousness to others was stronger than his desire to stay in Vrindavan and safely go back to Godhead. If you stay in Vrindavan, you can safely be assured of going back to Godhead. It was stronger than his desire for living comfortably. It was stronger than his desire to do anything else. He had no other desire but to fulfill the desire of his own Gurudev. And even amid all discouragements, heart attacks, preaching among almost completely crazy people, especially in San Francisco, where actually the movement first really exploded. Hayagriva, who was there, wrote a book called The Hare Krishna Explosion, and it really picked up there. But in Srila Prabhupada once said there, referring to the whole city, the hippie situation. In fact, it was so crazy that the hippies prided themselves on being crazy. The more crazy you were, the more prestigious. There was a hippie in the town I lived. His name was Mad John. And that was, he was very prestigious because he was so nuts, such a nutcase. Because the heavy drugs people were taking actually makes you crazy. So if you take lots of drugs, that's prestigious among them, to take lots of drugs. And then you become crazy, and that's prestigious. So Prabhupada said that it is the darkest of dark ignorance. That was the situation he was preaching in. But somehow the hippies there they liked to chant Hare Krishna. They liked to take prasad. And gradually Srila Prabhupada brought them into Krishna consciousness and trained them and gave them philosophy and everything. So despite so many obstacles, Srila Prabhupada's desire to do so, we may ask why others didn't have that strong desire to do so. We could speculate that what they'd been through in the Gauriya Math was so traumatic that they felt that, well, we did so much preaching, and what happened? We were preaching so dynamically, and then the whole movement became fragmented, and there was so much politics and very nasty dealings among the devotees. And we don't find, as in the Western countries, that people, after taking to Krishna consciousness, they go away. I didn't hear of that, although Srila Prabhupada gave one example, but it wasn't a common phenomenon, that those who had taken to Krishna consciousness under Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they didn't go away from Krishna consciousness. Of course, many of them were by background devotees. not all of them, but many of them were, by background, they were, but they may have gone, yeah, they may have gravitated toward the, some of them deliberately or went to the old, what we might call traditional caste Goswamis and this and that. But none of them gave up, very few gave up Krishna consciousness altogether. But the idea of preaching, they may have thought, you see, we preach and people come and then there's politics and fighting, let's just sit at home and chant peacefully. And maybe do a little preaching among small circle. And some of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers did expand preaching quite significantly in some areas, but within India. The idea of going overseas hadn't inspired them. That was also tried and not happened. That was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent a few of his disciples to the West, and nothing happened. There could be reasons for that. You could say the whole social situation, and then the Second World War was just brewing up. It didn't happen, just happened a little after that. But they were supported at great expense by the Gauriya Math from India, and then who's going to bear such an expense to send people to the West, and it seems like such an unlikely job. So there may be various reasons. Even if they were thinking of it, they felt discouraged. So we may feel the same thing in ISKCON today. What do we do to spread Krishna consciousness? Distribute books. We already distributed so many books. Or do Harinams. Yeah, we do Harinams. And then people come and then they'll go away and you get fed up. What's the point? The point is, if anyone hears the Harinam, they become benefited. If someone takes it up seriously, they are unlimitedly benefited. They're unlimitedly benefited even by hearing the holy name once. But that doubt may be there, that faith might not be there, that it's actually doable, or that it's worth doing. And actually we see some devotees, they lose faith to the extent that they don't believe what's in Prabhupada's books. Especially with regard to I'm hearing this from America. I don't know what it's like here. But especially some devotees having doubts about the Shastric descriptions of the universe and the Shastric descriptions of gender roles and Srila Prabhupada's stance on homosexuality has become such a big issue. It used to be just a few people you never heard about, and now it's such a big thing. Gay rights, on and on and on. They're not satisfied. They want more. So some devotees, they want to be devotees and chant Hare Krishna, but they have serious doubts in Srila Prabhupada's teachings, which are the Shastra's teachings. So how can you be Krishna conscious and not believe in the Shastra? It becomes a situation something like Hinduism. When Srila Prabhupada first came to the West, he said, comparing to Indian people, he says it's very easy to teach people Krishna consciousness because whatever I say, they just accept it. But in India, yeah, we already know, and we know, and Krishna this and Krishna that. And so it's that may be another reason why we may not be so enthusiastic to preach, because when we start to preach, and then some of our own devotees say things, oh, no, you can't say that, don't say that. Don't join. Someone wants to join, don't join. They'll tell them. So that may be another discouragement. We may think it doesn't work. Srila Prabhupada said that if we simply go on in the way we're doing, then we can take over the world. What happened to that? Still there. We say, well, we do Harinam and we distribute books, but there's a little bit here and there. But Srila Prabhupada also always stressed again and again and again and again and again and again that devotees have to strictly follow the principles, rising early, chanting 16 rounds, following the regulative principles, living in the association of devotees, all these things Srila Prabhupada stressed again and again. And he said, if we do these things, then we can take over the world. So nowadays we have so many ideas to bring people to Krishna consciousness, called bridge preaching. And although there is room for being innovative, but the main thing is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought, chanting Hare Krishna, bringing that out to the public. And the Sankirtan of, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is Sankirtan, which also includes the kirtan of distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. Now, in this regard, I'm going to read one of several letters that Srila Prabhupada wrote about what we nowadays call bridge preaching. Srila Prabhupada wrote, so far the road show and this yoga village are concerned. The road show was a rock opera. Do you know what that means, a rock opera? Jesus Christ Superstar is the most famous. That must have come to Croatia, is it? Yeah. It's an opera, but with rock music. That's a simple thing to understand. So the road show was a rock opera performed by devotees to present the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Exactly what the themes were, I don't know. And the yoga village, I'm not sure, because I don't think that ever happened, because there was just an idea and Srila Prabhupada nixed it with this letter. So Srila Prabhupada wrote, so far the roadshow and this yoga village are concerned, these things should be stopped. Simply perform our kirtan. If we divert our attention in this way, the whole thing will gradually deteriorate. He is going far away. I don't know who that refers to. All these things are nonsense inventions. Such inventing spirit will ruin this movement. People may come to see, some will become devotees, but such devotees will not stay because they are attracted by some show and not by the real thing or spiritual life according to the standard of Lord Chaitanya. Our standard is to have kirtan, start temples. What is this road show and yoga village? It will be another hippie addition. Gradually the Krishna consciousness idea will evaporate. Another change, every day another change. Stop all this. Simply have kirtan, nothing else. Don't manufacture ideas. Hoping this meets you in good health, your ever well wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. That was a really heavy letter. Imagine you get a letter telling you, a guru's telling you, just complete nonsense, just stop all this nonsense and just do what is what he's prescribed there. So innovativeness may be there. Srila Prabhupada himself showed that. It's not that innovativeness, but we have to be very, very careful. And the basis, the core of the movement has to be book distribution, Harinam Sankirtan in public, starting temples, preaching in public. And then if there are some things on the side to get a special audience, that may be there also. Just like Srila Prabhupada himself founded the Bhaktivedanta Institute, which is really bridge preaching, but to a very important constituency, scientists in particular and intellectuals in general. very important because ideas rule the world. I was just reading something yesterday. Where? On the internet. Where else? That because I read things about ideas and concepts and floating around the world, in which it was a review of a book in which a scientist was showing that the idea that science is objective is completely bogus, because, of course, they don't use those kind of words like bogus. But he said science is influenced by culture. And he showed this. And there were several examples he gave, like that of eugenics, the idea that we have to breed better people. And he said it's coming up again, because if we're going to clone human beings, well, who decides what kind of human being you want? What's your idea of an ideal human being that can all be produced in a baby hatching factory? They can all pop up with teeth that don't need dental treatment, and may make them all plastic with just a little brain in there. Or maybe no brain, that's better, isn't it? If people have brains, it's too much trouble. Just don't have them any brain. I mean, that's government policies, right? Brainless people, so we can just manipulate that. I was in one temple once, and the temple president said, "What I want is a bunch of robots. All these devotees, they're too much trouble. They should just do what I say. Everything would be easy." Well, life's not so easy. But you never know. We can have back to robot. Or you can order from the pharmacist. What kind of baby do you want? So these questions were... Anyway, we're getting off the point here. Well, then maybe that's one way of preaching. That is actually one way of preaching, is to have children. It's supposed to be, if you raise them as children. Srila Prabhupada said, in this regard, otherwise where are all the Vaishnavas going to come from? They're not just going to drop from the sky. Srila Prabhupada was humorous. You can genetically modify the babies to have a little humor also. So let's get serious now. It should be done. It's the same process. It requires to be done. One thing I suspect is that one reason we don't make devotees is that we don't really try. We have to try to make... That means spending time with people, talking to them, convincing them. And it's something like courting between a young boy and a young girl. At least according to the traditional role, they're courting and they're being nice and they're smiling at each other. At some point, the boy has to pop the question. Shall we get married? Will you marry me? So in preaching also, it's being nice, and it's not just being nice. You're preaching to them, you have to say, okay, when are you going to shave your head? Move in. The point has to come. Or if you're Tamal Krishna Maharaj, you can try other things also. Just like there was a long-haired hippie coming regularly, and Srila Prabhupada was coming. He had long hair, but he actually had a business and this and that. So he wasn't a first-class hippie. So he had long hair, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj told him, "So, do you want to have a personal darshan?" Prabhupada, "Really? Me? Yeah, sure. But you'll have to cut your hair." I have a devotee, he'll just trim it so it is a little short, because Prabhupada doesn't like long hair for men. Said, okay. And then the devotee got the order, so he cut it in such a, it was, looked a complete mess. And then the devotee looked, nowadays he could have got on the front page of a magazine as a new fashion, but it was all short here and long here, and it looked completely, and the devotee said, I think I'll just have to shave it all because nothing left to do. So he got shaved up. And then he was embarrassed to go home, and that's one way of doing it. That's the kind of thing we used to do. Tamal Krishnaraj made many devotees, by hook or by crook. We don't necessarily have to do that, although it's not a bad idea if you can do, if you have the spirit to do it. It could be done. In America, you might get sued, but then you can get sued for anything. So, practically, you can get sued for anything in America. You can get sued for emotional abuse, which is... What is that? He said something, I didn't like it. I better be careful, I won't say anything. He never said anything to me, I didn't like it. America's really tough, preaching. Great challenge, no doubt. But you're personally preaching to people, bring them in, encouraging them in, and I personally feel that we're too soft with people when we bring them in, that we don't push them enough to surrender. It may be different in different circumstances. Again, in America, from what I understand, many of the people who come, if you push them, they really resent it because they're so puffed up. So it's a difficult job, no doubt. But you push them. You have to chant. You have to give this up. You have to read. Come, become serious. Tell them that you have this rare human form of life. You don't know when you're going to die, but you do know you are going to die. So before you die, you have to do whatever it has to be done so you don't get born again. You have to impress upon people the seriousness of surrendering to Krishna. We're talking about spreading the preaching. It means making devotees, training them. Srila Prabhupada personally spent months in, first of all in New York, then in San Francisco. Later he traveled extensively, but he spent time in the beginning just getting the thing going. In Montreal he also spent a long time. In London he spent a long time. For a long time means some months. And then he would... work through his leaders. He'd train them more. The different GBC members would come and spend time with him, at least 1 month at a time. So he'd train them and then send them out, and they were supposed to train others. So leaders are required. It doesn't happen by chance. Leaders have to, they have to be devotees who have that vision, what we want to do, and who inspire by their own qualities. We can't designate someone a leader, or we can appoint someone as a leader, but as a manager you can do. But leadership doesn't come by appointment, but by the spirit, the desire to do that, and desire and the qualities have to be there also. No one expected Srila Prabhupada to do what he did, including probably himself. His own guru saw that. It was unexpected, but the example is there. It could be any of you could take a very significant role in spreading Krishna consciousness. It may not be worldwide, it may be in Croatia, it may be in just one area of Croatia. Any of you could be, can be, should be an acharya, one who teaches, preaches by example. Actually, everyone should be an acharya. Every disciple should be a guru. Just like every child is expected to become a parent. So every disciple is expected to become a guru. So at least in one's own family one can do. But as much as possible. It may be, we may see. I was saying yesterday, some of you, you're getting older, you've lived your family life. Now you can think about retiring when the children are settled in their own family lives, and then full-time preaching Krishna consciousness, or at least assisting in the Krishna consciousness movement with by being pujaris or gardeners or cooks in an existing center, something like that. Which brings up the question, how much we want to involve with the present ISKCON, because realistically speaking, in many of the centers, or many of the devotees, they may be more discouraging to preaching. Or to practicing Krishna consciousness seriously, as Srila Prabhupada wanted. So that's a very big question in itself. We find in Srila Prabhupada's case that he very much wanted to work within his own spiritual master's institution or within the institution of his god brothers, but only when it became incumbent upon him to go it alone, he did. But even then, despite some very unpalatable behavior toward him, still Srila Prabhupada, he never totally rejected his god brothers, or he wanted to work with them as far as was possible. So that's a very big topic. The point is that, I can quote in this regard, one of my god brothers, Arjuna Prabhu, I believe it is, in Mauritius, had heard Srila Prabhupada say that the GBC should not get in the way of preaching. That if we have to choose between what we have to do for Srila Prabhupada. Anyway, you can understand the purport. So that the point is that people are going to hell. We have what is required to save them. We should do whatever is within our capacity to help that. And of course, it's a cooperative. It's not that, okay, I'm going to be an acharya and walk out the door and I'll do it all by myself. Srila Prabhupada actually did so, but he was always looking for the help of his god brothers. He didn't reject that. So we have the advantage of having so many devotees. Not all of them have the same vision, but those who have the vision to do what Srila Prabhupada wanted in very vigorously promoting Krishna consciousness all over the world or within a certain area, Taro Edesh, to save this country, we can have that vision. So we should do what we require to do. The process is simple. Chanting the holy names with others, especially. The Sankirtan means not just alone, but with others. Let people hear the holy names. Distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. There may be other books also which serve the same purpose. There is a fanaticism that only Prabhupada's books should be distributed. But Srila Prabhupada himself commissioned some of his disciples to write books, had them published by the BBT and mass distributed. On the other hand, we shouldn't come to the idea that, as we've heard, and in this country it was quite prominent at one time, that well, people can't understand Prabhupada's book, so we have to distribute someone else's books. That should not be there. That's wrong. Prabhupada's books are the books that are the basis of this Krishna consciousness movement. But there are other books, just like we have this Coming Back, very good book for establishing this essential principle that Prabhupada was, that was practically what Prabhupada was preaching about, especially when he met people first. That point, again and again he stressed, we're not the body, we're changing body to body to body. So that's a very good book. There may be books like that. The book I'm talking about, one book that Srila Prabhupada very much liked, was The Scientific Basis of Krishna Consciousness. Very simple book, anyone can understand it. That which was by Swarup Damodar, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. So yeah, distributing books, chanting the holy names in public, and then there are so many other programs, but those programs are central. So the process is easy, the execution of it may not be so very easy. And it's probably more difficult now than it was when the Krishna consciousness movement first exploded in Croatia. It really caught on quickly, didn't it? After the it started after Tito died, I guess, was it? Around the same time. And Yugoslavia was still one country. And after the war it really picked up, was it?
Before the war.
Before the war. And then even after the war it was very strong.
During the war
was very good also, in some places. Most of the places. Yeah. Well, in Sarajevo, which was a really there was a lot of fighting there. From what I understand, it was very difficult even to walk on the street because you're in danger of being shot at any time or blown up. So, from what I heard from Sundari Radhika, who was there in Sarajevo, there wasn't much in the way of preaching going on. She was distributing books somehow or other situation. So yeah, that was around the late 80s, and for about 10 years it was really on a roll. So that can be revived, but in the meantime there is... times have changed. The enthusiasm can be brought back. So like I said at the beginning, this is just some... What I'm saying, it's just some suggestions, ideas. You can start to think about it. Thinking, feeling, willing. Starts with thinking. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the idea to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada gave the idea to us. We should revive that idea and do the needful. That's the point I want to make. So. And as I said yesterday, Croatia still seems to be a prime place for spreading Krishna consciousness. Better than other places. There's so many countries in Europe, but there may be various factors. People are pious by background, relatively pious. I mean, at least... As I see it, this may be subjective, but the Catholic, people of Catholic backgrounds, more pious than people of Protestant background. Protestantism is Christian Ritvicism. We don't believe in any authority. It's the book and Jesus. That's all. So we don't accept any authority. We don't accept any saints, and there's no images, no beautiful churches, just everything plain, dull, non-devotional, actually. And they may, so by culture, this Catholicism is much closer. And they're not so puffed up like the Brits and the Germans. And we have our great history and our... a great economy, and we're very powerful, and we're very strong. And they didn't have, as far as I know, didn't have philosophers like Jean-Paul Sartre to mess them up seriously. I mean, they have Hollywood, but in many ways, people are very simple and open. They're not so rich like Germans, and even Britain's a poor country, actually. Most of the people are struggling like anything. And America's getting like that too. But still, they're very puffed up. So it's a generalization. They feel we have a very powerful country. We're very significant. We're very important. So for whatever the reasons may be, it's a good place to preach. So over to you. It's your job. Now, Zagreb Temple is on a good footing. And things can develop. Just some thoughts. Hare Krishna, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu vyavacha paditanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. I said just some thoughts, but it's not just some random ranting. It's important thoughts. Hare Krishna. And I'm going to add a little more, because there's always more. I was specifically talking about all of you here in Croatia, but then it's not that America, I was saying America's more difficult. America has to be preaching. If anyone's listening out there on the internet or will listen later, America's also. It's not that we shouldn't preach. There are devotees everywhere. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Priti Vitya Ache Jato Nagaradi Gram Savata Prachar Hoibe Moranam. My name should be preached in every town and village. So Srila Prabhupada commented on that and said that means that there are already devotees there. They're just waiting to be picked up. So it should be preached everywhere. I was just trying to encourage you that you have a good preaching field. But actually, all over, in some ways, the preaching field is better than it's ever been. At least in Germany, the devotees don't get arrested for distributing books. They're practically allowed to. We did a Harinam recently in Linz, in Austria, and the police were very cooperative. And Austria's more German than Germany. They're really heavy there. But they were very happy. So everywhere, the whole world needs Krishna consciousness very badly. Ahani ahani bhutani gacchandiha yamalayam. Every day, so many people are going to hell. They have to be picked up. Hare Krishna.